All right, we are holding on Lamed Aleph on the Beis by the Mishnah at the bottom. Mishnah says, we're still in the parak that's talking about lighting Shabbos candles. I know we've had so many digressions, it's a little hard to remember, but the subject of the parak is lighting Shabbos candles. But our Mishnah is like urging women to be very careful with that because. As it says, Al Shalosh Averis Noshim Mefes B'Shach Lodosa, and there were three Averis for which women die in childbirth, and that is Al She'enim B'Hiris B'Nida B'Chala U'Rad Lokat Aner, because they're careless with Nida, with the dinim of Nida, of Taras HaMishpacha, they don't take Chala properly, and that they don't and Shabbos candles. So therefore, so those are very important things, and therefore a woman should be very careful with them. And as the next Mishnah is going to say, I'm on the Dalit, which we'll get to in the next couple of days, Beis Hashem, that the husband, therefore, should remind his wife, should be very careful to remind his wife before Shabbos to light the Shabbos candles. Actually, Rashash wants to say over here that it doesn't mean if she's careless actually lighting the candles. I mean, he wants to argue, look, I mean, lighting candles is only good on bottom. Why would it get such a harsh punishment? So he learns that what it means is where they light candles, but too late when it's already Shabbos. Whatever it is, those are the three mitzvahs that women are expected to be careful with. So the Gemara starts off, Nida Mai Taima. Why is it that a woman should deserve to die in childbirth if she was careless with Nida? And by the way, on the positive side, we had in Brachas, we had when Hannah, where we analyzed the whole Tfilah of Hannah over there before she had Shmuel, and one thing is, we mentioned over there that she said, I've always been careful with these three mitzvahs, so in the schus of that, Hashem, give me a child, even if you could say, maybe I didn't have a child all this time, because childbirth is dangerous, but we're saying in our Mishnah that it's dangerous only if a woman is not careful with these mitzvahs, but she says, I've always been careful with these mitzvahs, so please give me a child.
In the mitzvah of challah, do they have to be specifically careful about something, like
Yeah, taking challah from the dough.
Yeah, but it has to be done in a special way, or it's just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, nowadays, there's not much to it. Nowadays, there's not much to it because we're all tamei anyway. The challah is tamei. But in the olden days, when they followed the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, then, yeah, she'd have to be careful where possible to take it V'Tahara and to give it, and that it should be brought to the Kohen, et cetera. Yeah. But Pashas, all that's included, yeah. So there's more stories, and the initials of these, by the way, spell out, the initials of these mitzvahs, Chala, Nida, Havlokas, and there, spell out Chana. So that we used to talk about that a lot of times in Sichas for Vav Tisha. Anyway, there's more stories of Nida Mai Taima. Why is it that we're saying that a Nida is, that a woman who's careless with the dinim of Nida is going to be in danger during childbirth? Amar Rav Yitzchak, so Rav Yitzchak says, because Nida connects Nida. He kilkel of chadre bitna. She's doing something wrong involving her inside, where she's not being careful with the dinim of nida that involve the blood that comes from her inside, from her womb. L'fichach kilkel of chadre bitna. Therefore, she gets punished using her insides by that when she's having a child, when she's bearing a child from her womb, that she's in danger and then can die from it. So the Gemara asks. Okay, that explains one of the three mitzvahs in our Mishnah, why she could die from that. What about not being careful with challah and not being careful with halakas aner? What do those have to do with childbirth? So the answer is because for those it would be like what a certain person from the Galil one time doushin in front of a chista. It's like Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says as follows, Revius Dam Nasati Bachem. Hashem says, I placed within you a revius of blood. We have in a lot of places in Shas, it's taken as a given that the minimum amount of blood that a person needs in order to live is a revius. Now, what that means exactly, I mean, you know, in modern terms, a person needs several pints of blood in order to live. So either it means the amount of blood that's in the heart at any given time, or maybe it means the amount of blood that's in a baby's heart, at least when it's first born. Whatever it is, there's a concept in halacha called revius dam shanashama tluyabai, and it comes up in various areas of halacha, that it's considered that life depends on there being a revius of blood, maybe a certain revius, whatever. And therefore, so there's a revius of blood that I placed in you, and therefore, I'll iske dam his house yeskem. And Hashem says, I warned you to be careful with a certain mitzvah involving blood, namely nida. And Hashem continues, so to speak, Reishis Kolosi Eschem. Hashem says to the Jewish people, I called you Reishis, the first. You find a pasuk where the Jewish people are called Reishis Tevuasai, the first of Hashem's produce. Al-Biskei Reishis is how to Eschem, and I warn you to be careful about something having here with Reishis, which is Chala, which is supposed to be the first of your dough, Reishis Arisaitechem. And Neshama Shenafati B'chem Kuryan Mer, the Neshama that I placed within you, Hashem says, is called a candle, is called a lamp, like it says in the pasuk, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Al Iskin Ner His Havi Eschem, and I warn you to be careful about the lamp, about the candle of Shabbos. Therefore, Hashem says, Imatim Mekayimim Oysam Mutav, so Hashem says about all three of those mitzvahs, if you keep them, then good. And if not, having in Mishmaschem, then I will take away your neshama, and then that reveal of blood will be gone, the candle will go out, and the fact that you're gracious will disappear. So why does it have to do specifically with women? So Rashi mentioned two things. First of all, the sides of course, nida, of course, has to do with the woman's body, but also as far as the chala, Rashi brings from the Medrash, from Bereshit Rabba, that Adam Rishon was like the chala of the world. Like you have, Hashem created our whole world. He placed human beings in it, Adam and Chava, and they were like the chala. They were like the special, unique thing in the world, which is Hashem's special portion, like the chala is the Kohen's special portion. And Chava, by eating from the Eitz Hadas and giving of it to Adam, caused that got lost. Therefore, the mitzvah of chala is especially her domain, in order to make up for that. And as far as the candle, same thing. There was Hashem's light in the world, and she caused it to go out again because of the Chet Tadas. So therefore, she now has the mitzvah of bringing light into the world with the Shabbos candles. So that's one reason, Rashi says, based on that medrash, why these mitzvahs, particularly if the women, that are held to account if they're not done. Also, Rashi says, practically speaking, all these things are things that are done around the house. So challah, all of them are binding on men also. The fact is, if a man makes dough, he's chayav to take challah from it. If a man is home without a wife, he does light Shabbos candles. But nevertheless, generally speaking, the wife is home, and she's the one who does these mitzvahs, and therefore she's the one generally held to account for them.
And challah, again, is connected to...
Challah is connected to, so Rashi says, hello, Rapid. Chala is connected to Adam Rishon was like the Chala of the world. He was like the special portion of the world that was designated for Hashem. You make a batch of dough, you take a piece of it as Chala for the Kohen, and then you eat the rest. So the same thing, like there was a whole world, and Hashem created Adam in it to be Hashem's special portion. So therefore, and Chava ruined that with the Chetei Tadas. Marshall also points out the three things we're mentioning over here, Nida, Chala, and Avlakas Aner, and the three things we're mentioning, the reveal of blood, the fact that the Jewish people are called gracious, the fact that they have a neshama that's like a candle, represent the three levels of the three basic levels of the neshama, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So therefore, again, as the Gemara is saying, Hashem is saying, if a person does these mitzvahs, then good, and if not, then Hashem takes away the nefesh and the ruach, and then Hashem takes away the neshama, and then Hashem takes away the neshama, and the nefesh and the ruach are gone also. So the Gemara asks, Umay shna b'shas le'yosan, Yaakov one of the days of an Aleph, this line, Umay shna b'shas le'yosan, so why is it that specifically, we're saying in the Mishnah that women can die from being careless about these things, Rahman al-Islam, when they're giving birth. Why Gavka then? So the answer the Gemara is going to give basically boils down to that then is a time when she's in danger. Because as it is, childbirth is a dangerous thing. So it's a dangerous thing for the woman. So therefore, at a time like that, then it's so to speak, easier for her to get punished. So the Gemara mentions a number of metaphors to express that idea. Number one, Omar Rava, as the expression goes, Nafal Tora Chadad Wasakina. When the ox has fallen down on the ground, then sharpen the knife. In other words, it takes a lot of effort to get an ox down on the ground in order to shecht it. But if it's already down, then people say, you know what, hurry up, let's sharpen the knife and shecht it before it gets back up. So the metaphor is, the nimshal is, in other words, that when the woman is in danger, when already her mazel is weak because she's in danger from childbirth, then it's a much easier time for the kateger, for the accusers in Shemayim to get her punished. Abaya says a different metaphor. Kafish Tirus Amsa, let the maidservant do more and more disobedience. The Chad Machter Lahabi, in the end, shall get one beating for all of it. In other words, the idea being, Kafish means to increase, Tirus means disobedience. Pesha Vatrosa, Rashi says, means disobedience and carelessness and disobedience. In other words, the idea is like the mistress of this maidservant doesn't punish her individually for each little thing she does wrong. She waits until after it's mounted up, and then she punishes her all at once. So the same thing, in other words, when a woman is, as it is, going through the yisurim of childbirth, then the punishment for other things for other mitzvahs that she may have been careless with goes and gets increased together with that, and the combination of all of that can be dangerous to her, chas v'shalom. Rav Chista says a third marshal for it. Shavke l'rabia d'minachshe nachil. Leave the drunk person alone. He'll fall on his own. In other words, if you see a drunk person, you don't have to knock him down. He himself is going to fall down sooner on his own. So the same way, in other words, a woman as it is, when she gets pregnant, she's eventually going to give birth. She has to ask Hashem to help her to make her have an easy childbirth, to be able to have a good childbirth in time. So like this, Hashem, so to speak, says, I'm not going to do that because you weren't careful with these mitzvahs. So like Hashem says, so to speak, it's as if like you're a drunk person. You need support, but I'm not going to support you. I'm going to leave you to fall on your own as a result of these affairs. Ma'ukva says a fourth expression to explain the situation. Raya chigra, if the shepherd is lame, the easy rihatan and the goats that he's taking care of are very quick footed. So when the goats misbehave, when they get out of line or whatever, he would like to hit them with a stick, but he can't because he's lame and he can't easily run after them. So what happened was, but eventually he's going to bring them into the pen. Abav chutra mili. So now when it finally comes to the gate, when the goat finally comes to the gate of the pen, abav means the gate, chutra means the pen, mili, then he'll have words with it. Ba'abe dari, and when there's the gathering together of the goats, chushvana, then there will be a reckoning. In other words, like the shepherd thinks to himself, like, okay, look, you know, I can't immediately, the goat gets out of line, I'm going to be able to hit it with a stick and get it back in line. I can't get after it fast enough. But later on, when the goats are all coming back into the pen and I'm gathering them together, that's when I'll deal with it. So the same way, in other words, Rashi says, the nimshal would be, you have, let's say, for example, a woman has certain schosim. So yes, she also has certain demerits against her, the fact that she's careless with one or another of the mitzvahs that we're saying in our Mishnah. But when she's healthy, then she has other schosim, which help prevent her from getting punished. So that's, so to speak, like as if the shepherd, Hashem, as if like he's lame and not able to punish her yet. But eventually there comes a point when she comes to a place, when she's entering into a situation of danger, namely childbirth. There she needs Nisim in order to help her, and there already what she did previously is brought up, and Hashem decides, does she actually deserve that assistance and that Ness or not? Rav Papa has a fifth way of putting it. As the expression goes, Abav Chanvosa, when it comes to the door of the store, or Chanvosa, Chanus, and in Gemara terminology, really means something more like a tavern or something, like a restaurant where there's food, where they're giving out or selling food. So when in a place when there's plenty to go around, Nefishi Achayu Marachni, there are a lot of brothers and a lot of friends because everybody acts friendly to each other because there's plenty of food and everybody therefore is generous with each other. Abav Bizyoni, but on the other hand, at the door of the place where there's Bizyoni, where there's loss and there's poverty, loy, or for another explanation, abav bizyoni means by the gates of the jail, loy achi v'loy manachmi, all of a sudden there are no brothers and no friends because everybody stays away from it because because now there's nothing to give out. So, like, everybody wants to stay away from each other, and there's nothing to give out. Everybody wants to stay away from each other. If we say it means a jail, then it means that the Rabbi Hananel explains that it means, for example, like a person was arrested, let's say, a person was put in jail, or a person is being held because he didn't pay taxes, so all of a sudden all his friends and neighbors and relatives and whatever disappear because they don't want to get in trouble also. The nimshal is, in other words, that, so like this. Normally, when a person is in a good situation, then they have many defenders in Shemayim. They have malachim that are created by the various mitzvahs they do that are willing to defend them. But when a person is in danger, then you have, all of a sudden, those malachim are hard to find. So she needs extra schusim. So therefore, again, our Mishnah is stressing that she needs to be careful about these three special mitzvahs that are generally given to women to take care of, because otherwise, she may, in a critical situation like this one we're saying in the marshal, when in a place where there's no food to be given out, or when there's trouble or whatever, then you need that's when you need defenders. That's when you need somebody to stick by you even then. Okay. So those all explain therefore why the Mishnah is saying that women are careless with one or another of these three mitzvahs, then they can die in childbirth, Rahmanul son. By the way, obviously it doesn't mean that that's the only reason women die in childbirth. I mean, ultimately Hashem runs the world. Sometimes Hashem has other reasons for that. You know, for example, Rachel passed away in childbirth. She wasn't careless with any of these three mitzvahs. But the Mishnah is saying that very often this can be a cause of it. Okay. So now the question is, the gavra heichim nivdiku. What about men? All this time we're talking about at what point in life Hashem looks into what women did and decides whether they're worthy of being saved or not. What's the equivalent for men who don't go through childbirth? The Rosh Lakish says, when men are going over a bridge, the Gemara says, Geshev Tuloi, is that the only time in life when a person crosses a bridge that then he's being judged in Shemayim and to see whether he's worthy of being saved? The answer is, you're right. The Gemara says, Ema Ka'en Gesher. It doesn't mean exactly a bridge. It means any situation where a person is in a dangerous place. Bridges, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, like nowadays the Brooklyn Bridge or something, which is very solidly built. We're talking about the kind of flimsy bridges where they had in those days, where the bridge could easily, while you're crossing it, collapse, and then you find yourself all of a sudden in the water. So at times like that, other times like that, Rashi says, let's say another example is when if a person is walking next to a wall that's not quite so sturdy. Another one would be when a person is going on a trip where travel is not so safe. So those are the kinds of things where Hashem looks at a person's ma'asim, where Hashem looks at a man's ma'asim and decides, is he worthy of being saved, or is he worthy of or not. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Rav, like over the Mabra, the Yosef de Akum, when Rav had to take a ferry to get from one side of the river to the other, and a ferry can also be a dangerous thing because, you know, again, the boats then were not so solidly constructed. You could have the ferry, you could sink halfway across. So Rav would not go on a ferry to Yosef de Akum where there was a guy sitting on the ferry. He would go on the ferry only if all the people on the ferry were Jews. Why? Omar, because Rav thinks to himself, like we just said, a ferry is one of those examples of a dangerous situation. So now, when we're on it, Dilma Mifkid Le Dina Ale, it might happen while we're on the ferry that the Goy is going to be judged and remembered for the Averis that he did. And then, therefore, Hashem is going to decide that he needs to drown as a result of it, or Matisna Bahade, and then I'm going to get caught up, and then I'm going to get caught up in it, a collateral damage. So he wouldn't do that. On the other hand, Shmuel, like other, so I guess Rav took the view. I mean, you could conceivably have the same danger with a fellow Jew as well. But I guess Rav figured a Jew has fewer averus for Hashem to all of a sudden decide in the middle that he's not going to make it across to the ferry. Or rather, a different way of putting it, a yid has many chutzim which a goy does not. Okay. On the other hand, Shmuel did exactly the opposite. Shmuel, like over Elabah Mabra de Isbeakum, Shmuel would only go on a ferry only if there was a Goyish passenger on it. Omar, because Shmuel said, Satna betray Umi loy Shalit. The Satan does not have power at the same time over two different nations. Meaning, in other words, he took the view that if the Satan is going to accuse the guy, and say, hey, wait a minute, that guy doesn't deserve to make it across safely because of his Averis, but he doesn't have the ability at one and the same time to say, you know what, that's true of the guy and also of this Jew. So therefore, Shmuel figured, I'm safer this way. If the Satan tries to accuse the guy and say the guy doesn't deserve to get across, then he's not going to be able to accuse me at the same time and say that I don't deserve to get across either. I guess he wasn't worried like Rab is about doing collateral damage. So therefore, now it's interesting, this point actually comes up in Halacha. This point comes up in Halacha, namely, you have like this, there's a Gemara in Tainus that tells us, unfortunately, it's very relevant now, that, for example, that one time it says in the Gemara over there, there was an epidemic affecting pigs. And Rabbi Yehuda said that we need to fast and daven to Hashem about it. So the question is why? And the Gemara explains, because pigs and human beings have very similar digestive systems, and therefore a disease that affects pigs can easily jump species and go to people. So there's a Tosfos mentions over there in the same vein. Therefore, if you have an epidemic that is affecting goyim, even if it's not affecting Jews yet, you still need to start fasting, and you still need to be davening to Hashem that it shouldn't start affecting Jewish people. Because if you're going to say it can even jump, if you can say it can jump from pigs to people, which after all are two different species, how much more so from goyim to Jews, which are, after all, they're all human beings. So the Bach over there asks, wait a minute, what about all Gemara stuff that are today only like Shalit? But apparently, Tosfos figures that that's all very nice. Shmuel said that. But nevertheless, that Gemara in Tainus overrides that. So in fact, this whole business of Sotna B'Tshei Umi Le Shalit is not even really broad in Halacha. That we should say, I mean, the Magen Avraham actually brings it briefly, but it's not really broad as a valid thing to say, therefore, that you should consider that you're not in danger if there's a goy around because the Sotna can't accuse the goy and you at the same time. And in fact, there was actually a tshuva from the Rashbash. Yesterday we talked about the Rashbat, one of the late Rishonim, who was originally in Spain, and then he was forced to leave Spain. Because of the persecutions over there, and he wound up in Algiers in North Africa and became the Rav over there. He wrote the Tashbis, we mentioned him yesterday. He had a son named Rav Shloima, who's called the Rashbash. And the Rashbash has in one of his Tshuvas, he deals with this question. Really, there was something like that in his time. There was an epidemic affecting Goyim. It hadn't yet started affecting Jews, but he said, nevertheless, based on that Tosfos over there, you have to start davening and fasting to Hashem to save us from it. I Sotna B'Tshrei Umri LeShalit, as it says in our Gemara. He says that's a very weak reason. The fact of the matter is, we see, practically speaking, that epidemics start affecting Goyim, and then unfortunately they affect Jews as well, and therefore we better daven to Hashem for it, as we have nowadays.
What was his full name?
This Rishon that I just mentioned, the Rashbash, Rav Shmuel b'Rav Shimon, not Shmuel, Rav Shloima b'Rav Shimon. His father was the Rashbash, which is Rav Shimon ben Semach, and his name was Rav Shloima b'Rav Shimon, and he's called the Rashbash. He was the Rav of Algiers after his father.
When?
What?
When? Which period?
In the 1400s. He was Nifter in 1467. Okay. Anyway, going on. Rabbi Yanai took a third view of it. So far we have two possibilities. Again, Rav would not go on a ferry unless everybody on it is Jews. Shmuel is the other way around. He would only go on a ferry if there was a Jew on it. Rabbi Yanai would do differently. Rabbi Yanai bodied for Avar. Rabbi Yanai wouldn't worry about whether it's all Jews or whether it's mixed Jews and Goyim, but he would check the ferry carefully to make sure that there's no holes or no problems with it, and then he would go across. Now, specifically why? Rabbi Yanai goes according to his own shitta. Ya'omar, Rabbi Yanai says, La'olam al-yaman adim ha-makam sakana lo'ma sha'otin lo'net. The person should never stand in a dangerous place, like in this situation, for example, in a ship that might sink, and say that Hashem will do me for me a mess. First of all, Hashem ain't oisin my nest. First of all, Hashem might not make a mess for him, and then he's going to be in danger. the im osim le'nes, and also even if Hashem does decide to make a nest for him, minakan le'nes kriyosev, though the based in Shamayla, will deduct it from his chosim. So he'll get deducted from his reward loan habit. Amr Abchanan Maikra, or Abchanan says, where's a pasuk where we see that idea expressed? Yaakov says, "Katon ti mikola chasadim and mikola emes. I have become small from all of the chesed and all of the truth which you did for me." Famously, we know, as Lubavitcher said, and we have it in Tanya, and in Igeres Beis, the Alter Rebbe starts the Igeres that he wrote after he was released from jail. He starts the Igeres with those words, "Katon ti mikola chasadim," that when Hashem does chesed for a Jew, he has to feel much smaller. He has to realize that he was so close to Hashem, which means that he's smaller. He should have a greater degree of bittul. So Or Gemara is taking it in a bit of a different sense, that the person should realize that its chosin may be reduced as a result of such a thing. Okay. Similarly, Rabbi Zera b'yomer d'shusa loynafik lebeinin dikla. Similarly, Rabbi Zera b'yomer d'shusa, on a windy day, or particularly shusa means a south wind, which is a very strong wind, which can knock down trees. Reb Zera would not, on such a day, he wouldn't go out among the palm trees, because the wind then is strong enough to knock down a tree, and he didn't want to be, as we said, in that situation where he might have to require a nest to save him. Continues the Gemara on this topic. Amar Rav Yitzchak Breder Rav Yehuda, La'olam yivakesh adam rachnim shel Yahweh. A person should always daven to Hashem for rachmanus, that he should not get sick. Because as long as he's not sick, then fine. He's not sick. He's doing well. Like we said before, he has chosim that are protecting him and whatever. But she'im yechleh, if a person does become sick, chas v'shalom, oimrim lo, that he's told, min ha'shamayim, hobeis chos v'hi poter, bring a chos that you should show that you deserve to be saved, and then you'll be exempted. So in other words, once the person is sick, he's in a much more dangerous situation where he needs to demonstrate that he has a right, that he has a right to be saved. Alma Ma'okra Maikra, Ma'okra says, where's a pasuk that expresses this idea? You have the pasuk described. The pasuk says there's a mitzvah for a person to put a mica, a fence, a guardrail around his roof so a person doesn't fall off of it. And the expression in the pasuk is, ki yikol hanoso mimen, because the one who falls may fall off it. Now, the simple meaning of mimenu means that he may fall off the roof. But the Gemara is looking for a different explanation. The problem is, Marsha says that the whole process goes like this: he's given a bias chadash, if you build a new house, you should make a guardrail around your roof. You shouldn't make that there's going to be bloodshed in your house, that the person's going to fall off and get killed. Because a person who falls may fall off it. So Marsha explains that if the mimenu refers back to the house or to the roof, then the mimenu is misplaced in the pasuk, because then it's referring back to something much earlier in the pasuk. So therefore, the Gemara would rather understand that the word mimenu is referring to what's immediately before it, namely the person that falls down. Meaning, mimenu lahavi raya, Hashem, that the pasuk is implying that it's up to the person himself who's falling, mimenu, from him has to come a proof that he deserves to be saved. So in other words, once he's in a situation where he's falling, then at that moment, Hashem says, okay, do you have some kind of proof that you actually deserve to be saved? And if not, then you're not going to be. So therefore, we see that when the person is in a dangerous situation, or like we were saying, when he was sick, then already he's in a much worse position. Tanad Reh Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braita of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, a different meaning of this process. The pasuk says the one who's falling may fall from it, or menu can also mean from him, meaning because of what the Baal HaBayis did. So now, why is the expression in the pasuk "kiyikol hanoifil"? The one who falls may fall from it. Why call him the one who falls? Let's say somebody may fall off it. Let's say kiyikol menu. It means he's called noifil. He's called the one who falls. Because Roy is a little misheshes in Ebreshi. what the Torah is implying is that Hashem already, back in the 6 days of creation, when Hashem determined everything that's going to happen in the world for all time, Hashem already determined that this person deserves to fall. Sharei lo nafal, because we see here in the pasuk, we're talking the person has not yet fallen, and the pasuk is already calling him the one who falls, because he's already destined to fall. But with the pasuk is implying, the pasuk is teaching us the idea that zchus comes to a person that good things come to a person who's worthy of them, and choyva and negative things come to a person who's worthy of them. Meaning, in other words, that when you have this balabas, if he puts up the guardrail, then what it is so now when you have even so you have a person on his roof. So fine, that person wasn't going to fall off anyway because Hashem hadn't decided in advance that he's going to fall. But the balabais actually gets credit for the fact that the guy didn't fall because he put up the mitzvah. So even though he didn't actually cause it because it was already predetermined that the guy is not going to fall, he gets the credit. And vice versa, if he doesn't put up the guardrail, even though ultimately the other guy fell. Because Hashem had predetermined it, nevertheless, the Baal HaBayis is held accountable to Yipol HaNoifel Minenu, the falling of this person who was destined to fall, is Minenu. It's because of the Baal HaBayis, because he's the one, he's the Chayev who through him it was made to happen. So Hashem makes it that good things happen to good people and vice versa. This is, by the way, very relevant to Pesach. You have the Rambam asks the famous question, if Hashem had predetermined that the Jewish people are going to be in Mitzrayim, Ba'avodim Ve'inuoy, some we're going to say in a couple of days in the Haggadah, then why is it that Mitzrayim deserve to be punished so severely? And the Rambam explains, based on the related to our Gemara over here, that Hashem had predetermined that the Jewish people are going to be in Mitzrayim and they're going to be enslaved, but Hashem hadn't predetermined that Hashem hadn't told any individual Mitzri, you're the one who's going to do it. Therefore, the Mitzri, and each Mitzri who mistreats the Jewish people, deserves punishment for it. So that's similar to our Gemara over here. Hashem had predetermined that this person is supposed to fall, but nevertheless, you have to do the right thing and put up the mitzvah, and then you get credit for the fact that the person didn't fall, after all.
Isn't that a proof that, or a disproof that the Satan cannot strike two people together? Really, it depends on each one person individually. It's irrelevant whether there's the two people or not.
That's true, but I guess what we were saying before is that Shmuel is saying, after all, you need, in order for a person to be punished, you need the Satan to accuse him, and the Satan is not able to multitask. He's not able, it's one thing when they all belong to one nation, then the Satan can accuse them both on the basis, look, they belong to the same nation. That nation is doing Averis, therefore they both deserve to be punished. But two different nations, he doesn't have the ability to accuse, Shmuel was saying, he doesn't have the ability to accuse them both at the same time. I forgot to mention, by the way, now thank you for bringing that point up again, because I did want to mention something else. Marsha asked the question, what do you mean we say that the Sultan can't accuse two nations at once, and therefore you can never have, for example, on a boat that you have two different nations in danger? What about the story of Yonah? You have Yonah as a Jew, all the other sailors on the boat are going, and you see the boat was going to sink. So Marsha says, because essentially there the accusation was against Yonah. They would have been in danger, but the whole point in the story was that they needed to throw Yonah overboard, and then the storm stopped. So they were never the ones in the first place who were being accused, unlike in the case of the ferry that we were discussing before, where Shmuel was saying it might happen. I'm not worried about being collateral damage with the guy. I should have to worry that the Sultan may accuse him of his averus and me of mine, but he can't do that to two different nations at one time. The Chidah actually gives a different explanation about that. The Chidah says, we find in the Medrash that it says that Yonah was in a big hurry to get going, and therefore he paid the sailors for the entire cost of all the places on the ship. He didn't want to wait until the ship fills up with paying customers as usual, because he wanted to get out of those two as soon as possible, so Hashem can't tell him again to go to Nineveh. So he was rich, so he paid the entire cost of the ship. Therefore, the Chidah says, therefore, the entire ship is called, in effect, it's all under his name. As opposed to, let's say, when you have a passenger on a ferry, then you have each passenger pays their own fare, so therefore you can't say that it's all called by one person's name. All right, anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here.
There's a better example. What about the Yidden in Mitzrayim? If they hadn't put the dam on the Mashkuf, they would have been, killed.
That's true. And you do have, on the other hand, opposite all Gemara over here, about the stuff not having power over two nations. Well, first of all, I mean, really, then it was, Goy Ked of Goy, as it says in the Pasuk, right? There was, Hashem was taking one nation out of the midst of another nation. So, like, at that point, the Jewish people were almost completely assimilated among the Mitzrayim. So maybe that's different. But in any case, you're right. There is the Gemara in fact, there's the Gemara in Baba Kama that mentions on the basis of that Kivin Shenitin Rishus L'Mashkat L'Chabel, once the destroyer is given permission to destroy, that he doesn't distinguish between the Tzaddik and the Rasha, the Rashbash that we were talking about before, the Rashbash actually mentions that point in his Shuvah, and he says, therefore, that kind of outweighs all Gemara over here. Therefore, he says also, as far as the case of the epidemic over there, that therefore don't rely on the stuff in the Tirei Omer Loi Shalit. Keep in mind that other Gemara, that once the destroyer is given permission to destroy, he doesn't distinguish, and therefore take care, and therefore daven for the epidemic and take precautions, etc. Okay, continues the Gemara. Turn it up on him. Let's talk more about the case where a person is sick. If a person is sick and he's close to death, Rahman al-Islam, only loy his vader. If he passes away, they tell him, Say vidri before you're gone. Shekain kolam must in mitzvadin. We find in fact that even everybody who was executed by Beis Din is supposed to say vidri beforehand, and that gains them their place in Olam Haba. So the same thing, we tell a person before they pass away, be careful to say vidri, and that way it'll clean up whatever is still left of yours. By the way, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is let's say the person is not in a position to be able to say a full vidui, then they tell them at least you should say kehei misosi kapora al kol avin noisai. You see, tell them that at least say my death should be a kapora for all my avers. And by the way, also it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, you tell them, don't think just because you're saying vidui, necessarily it means you're going to die. Many people say vidui and they don't die, so you still try to encourage him, but you also get him to say vidui. Continues the Braisa, Adam Yotze L'Shuk, when a person goes out into the marketplace, and the marketplace often can be a very dangerous place. Rashi described, you have fights break out over there. You have people who are Goyim and Jews who are going to start an argument. So going into the marketplace is a bit of a dangerous situation. A person should consider himself in such a situation as if he was given or as if he was handed over to the police. So like he's in a certain degree of danger, and therefore he has to daven to Hashem for rachamim and try to have as much chosim as possible. Chosh v'roshay. Then if a person has a headache, even a minor headache, he goes at the end of commission a snuva b'kolo. He should think of himself as though he's in a more serious situation, as though not only he was arrested, but he was put into a neck collar, which is the kind of thing which is put usually on people who are being judged with whether they're going to live or not. Kaddish Shalom. All of the mitzvah and nafal, if the person then is even sicker, he actually has to get into bed and he falls down over there and he can't get out of bed, then he's going to be in of Kamisha Lula Gargan. He should think of himself as if he was already brought up to the platform over there to be judged, where then he's in a really dangerous situation to be judged. Because what a person is when it comes to a boss of a dumb, when a person is being brought up on charges like that in front of a Goyish court, in Yeshler, or a Jewish court for that matter, even Yeshler Saklitin Golem, if he has great defenders, Nisil, then he's gonna be saved in Lab, and if not, ain't Nisil, then he doesn't get saved. But when a person is in that situation where he's so sick that he's in bed and can't get out, he has to realize at that point he really needs very strong defenders in Shaman. The Elohim Kaklit and Shaman, what are those defenders of a person? Shuva, Mice, and Turban. Doing Shuva and doing Mice and Turban. The Afilu Chameus, Matisha, Malamdim, Olav Chova, the Echon, Malamid, Olav Schoth. Even if you have, let's say, a person has 999 Malachim, in Shemayim who are accusing him of Avedis that he did, and one Melamed Tchus on him, Nisto, he can still be saved as a result of that one. Just the fact that he has one sometimes can be enough to save him. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, we say in Kaporis, Im Yesh Olaf Malach Melis Echad Mini Olaf, if there is for him one Malach who defends, Echad Mini Olaf, one out of 1,000, Lahagid L'Odom Yashroi, to tell about a person's righteousness, about a person being upright, a person being straight in Torah and Mitzvah, then the Pasuk continues the next Pasuk, Vayichunenu, then Hashem has Rachmanus on him, Vayomer, and Hashem says, De'eo Meredes Shachas, save him from going down into the grave. Motsosi Kofer, I found a redemption for him. So Hashem can say, at one out of 1,000 malachim, that's enough. I'm able to. Hashem can say, in that case, he can be saved on the basis of that.
You're saying that he can be saved because of his merits, but that court is only looking at the fact that he does tshuva doesn't affect them. What do they care if he does tshuva or not? They're looking at the facts. Is he guilty or not?
Well, but for example, when a person is being judged in court, they do. You have to think of it. A person is being judged in court, for example, they do take extenuating circumstances into account and reduce his sentence because of that. So here, that's what we're saying. The myth, you can have, for example, imagine you have, this is actually brought in Sfarim, I don't remember the source of this, imagine you have, for example, a person is being judged in court for a certain crime, but let's say, for example, imagine he's the only doctor in town, let's say, or he's the only car mechanic in town, let's say. So they might say, you know what, we can't execute him, or we can't clap him in jail, because then who's going to take care of the sick people, or who's going to fix people's cars, or whatever. So then they're willing to, then they may reduce his sentence, so we'll put him under house arrest or something, so that way at least he can still continue serving the community. So the same thing, so to speak, if a person does certain things that make them, so to speak, indispensable, then that may cause Hashem to say, you know what, I can't spare this person. He's needed in the world for what he's accomplishing, and therefore I'll go easy on him. That's what we're saying over here, basically, that even if there's only one malach, that's malamut chus, that can be enough to save him. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rav Yitzchak Glili, and Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, goes even further. Even within that one malach, even within that one malach itself, you may have 999 parts out of 1,000 of that malach are also accusing him. Because let's say, fine, we're talking about a mitzvah that he did. But let's say, for example, he did a mitzvah, but he had wrong intentions with it. He was doing it for selfish reasons or whatever. So even that malach that was created from that mitzvah itself contains large parts that are accusing him that he wasn't doing the mitzvah properly. The echad, the schus, and there's only 1,000th of that mitzvah, which is the schus. Nevertheless, that can be enough. Nitzel, he can be saved because of that. As the Pasuk says, a defender, one out of 1,000. So in the first one, we said the defending malach is one out of 1,000, where all the other 999 are accusing him. Now we're saying, even within that malach himself, you can have that only one thousandth of that malach is the defender and the rest is the accuser. And still, that can be enough. The Michtav Meliyahu brings an interesting thing on this. I mean, before we said the person needs very great defenders against him, all of a sudden now we're saying that one thousandth of one malach out of 1,000 can be enough. But basically what you can have is that when a person is in a situation that could be dangerous, he has to realize to begin with that Hashem put him in that situation as a warning. Be careful. Start making sure you have Sakritim Gerlim, that you have great defenders, because you never know what's going to be. But then when the person is in the actual dangerous situation, then Hashem may go easy on him and say, you know what, yes, it's true, he deserves, it may be true that in principle he should require many more defenders, but nevertheless I'm willing to exempt him in this particular case because he only has that one tiny defender. So in other words, the idea is when a person is in a dangerous situation in the first place, it shouldn't just be that, you know, he's looking at the news to see how dangerous and then looking at statistics tables and whatever to see just how dangerous it is. More to the point, the person should be looking and seeing, you know what kind of practicum golem do I have in reserve? What kind of great defenders do I have in reserve in Shemayim? And if I don't have enough, then maybe I better work on getting some more. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to, again, we got into this whole discussion by way of the Mishnah had said that there are certain averus for which women can be in danger when they're in childbirth. So let's get back to that topic. There are three averus for which women die when they're giving birth. Yodas, when they're giving birth. Rav Elazar has a different version of the Mishnah, not that they die because of these averus when they're giving birth, yodos, but rather yolodos, that women die young because of these averus. And they are the three averus that we said in the Mishnah, because they're not careful with chala and nida and avlokas and nida. Rav Acha says there's a fourth one as well, but avoyin shemachamsis soyas b'neim b'shabbos. Women also can sometimes get punished and die young, Rachman Aslan, because they wash their baby dirty clothes on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. It's one of the 39 malachas. And the Yesh Omrim, and then Yesh Omrim, another one, Al Shekodim La'Oren HaKodesh Ona, because they call the Oren Kodesh, in Shul, they call it carelessly, they call it Ona, which literally means a chest or a box. So they don't call it by the respectful name, Oren HaKodesh. So Marsha asks, don't we have many times in Halacha where we call it Oren without saying Kodesh? So Marsha says, okay, where it's clear that you're talking about the Oren in Shul, then there's no problem with it. But when you're talking in conversation where it's not clear whether you're referring to the Oren Kodesh in Shul or just an Oren, a box, then it's a problem because you're treating it disrespectfully. The Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham mentions this halacha in Shulchan Aruch and brings a couple of other possibilities. He says another possibility might be that when you're learning Torah is different. Every word in Torah is holy. So therefore, even when you're learning Torah, the fact that you call it only Oren, that's fine. That word itself is Kodesh. And he says another possibility is, and we're saying over here the word Orna, which is the Aramaic word for Oren. So maybe what it is he says, the word Oren they would use for the Oren Kodesh, I'm sure, even if they didn't use the word Kodesh. But the word Ona, which is the Aramaic equivalent, they would use only for a chest. So when they call the Oren Kodesh in Shul Ona, then it means when they're using the Aramaic word Ona, which is used only for a chest, then that's disrespectful.
What's the explanation for Mechapsis, Benehem?
Mechapsis, first name Shabbos. They wash their children's dirty clothes on Shabbos. Their children get their clothes dirty with excrement or whatever on Shabbos, and you have women who are careless with the halacha, where they, you know, you're not supposed to wash clothes on Shabbos, and they go and wash them. So we're saying, Rav Acha is saying that's another avera besides the three that we mentioned in the Mishnah that can cause that women die prematurely on the fly. Tanya, we learn in a bright, there will be Shmuel ben Elazar Omer, in connection with what we said about calling the Oren Kodesh Ona, he says, "Ba'avon shnei dvarim amehar rasis meitim." He says there are two averus for which amehar oris die. Now amehar oris, I mean, there's you know, we're not talking about in other words the kind you have the amehar oris that I mentioned in other places in Gemara, for example, who hate the chachamim. We're not talking about those. We're talking about the better kind of amehar oris. They're careful with his mitzvahs as much as they know. So therefore, in other words, the things that they do wrong, on the whole, Hashem goes easy with them because they don't know better. But there are two things that they do that cause them to die. Number one, Al Shekorim La'Oren HaKodesh Ona, what we just said, that they call the Oren HaKodesh by a disrespectful name, Ona, which just means a chest or a box. And number two, Al Shekorim La'Beis HaKnesses, Beis Om, because they call a shul Beis Om, the house of the people. Which Marsha explains, in other words, when you call it Beis HaKnesses, the place of gathering, it means that Hashem gathers there and the people gather there. But when you call it Beis Om, the house of the people, it's like you're saying Hashem has no business there, only it's just a place for the people to gather socially or whatever. And that's a problem to call it that.
Is it only for the simple people? David HaMelech called the Zviros.
That's a different thing. And David was punished for that also. But that's, we're not talking about that. We're talking about calling a shul based on we don't have that. Okay. Tanya, you know. I mean, there is actually some achronim talk about a point that you actually find a pasuk in Yirmiyah that calls a shul based on. So what are we saying over here? So the Maloy HaRoyim, one of the Mephoshim in the back of the Gemara, says that maybe in the times of the Gemara, by that time, that was hundreds of years after Yirmiyah, they used the word base om to refer to other kinds of places where people gather, like a theater. So therefore, it would be a disgraceful thing to call a shul by a word that could also mean a theater, whereas in Yirmiyah's times, they didn't have that yet. Okay. Anyway, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shloisha Bidke Misa Nivru Beisha. There are three Averis for which women are checked to see that were created for a woman. There are three things, as you said in the Mishnah, Nidachala and Amakataner, where Hashem checks into what a woman does and sees, as you said in the Mishnah, when she's in childbirth or other dangerous times, whether she's fulfilling them properly. The Amrim of Shloisha Divke Misa, a different version of the statement is not Bidke Misa, Meloshin Bedek, Meloshin Checking, but rather Divke Misa, things that bring Misa closer were created by a woman, Nidah Chava Chala Ba'Blokas Aner. The three that we said in the Mishnah, if a woman is careless with one of those three mitzvahs. So Rashi explains that these two versions of what Rabbi Yossi is saying reflect the two versions that we said before of how our Mishnah goes. Is it that these are things that are dangerous for a woman when she's in childbirth, then it's Shloisha Bidke Misa. And then at a time when a woman is already in danger, then it's checked into, does she deserve to be saved? Is she careful with these mitzvahs or not? As opposed to, if we use the second version, if we go according to Rabbi Lazar's version, Noshin Mesis Yolodos, that these are things that cause that women die young, then it would be Shloisha Divke Misa, then it would be three things that bring death closer, meaning at any time during her life, that bring death closer prematurely, in other words. Okay. So the Gassi Gemara says, Chodek Rabbi Lazar, Chodek Rabbanim. So of these two versions, Shloisha Bidke Misa or Shloisha Divke Misa, one follows Rabbi Lazar's version of the Mishnah, and one follows the Chachamim's version of the Mishnah. And again, we learned in Brachos that Chana, in her tefillah, points out to Hashem that I've been careful with all three of those. She uses the same expression, Shloisha Bidke Misa or Shloisha Divke Misa. I've been careful with all of them, so please give me a child. More on this topic of Averis and the possible punishments for them. Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hilchas Hektish Trumas of Maestris, the halachas of Hektish, when a person designates something as Hektish, and of giving Truma and of giving Maester, Hain Gufei Torah, all those things are basic parts of the Torah, the Nimsu of Amia Oret, and yet we see that they were given over to the Amia Oret. Because what happens, in other words, that Hashem didn't say that the Beis Din is responsible for appointing people to check into, to make sure that people are dealing with Hektish properly. A person declares something Hektish, it's left up to him to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash or to redeem it, and nobody is supervising him. The same thing with Truma and Meister. On a Daraisa level, nobody is checking into him, because it's only the Rabbanon that you have. It's only the Rabbanon that you have the whole concept of Zmai, but on a Daraisa level, we trust the Amah Oret to take Truma and Maisa property. So the Nimtzu of Amah Oret, all these things were given over to the Amah Oret. In other words, as important as these mitzvahs are, they're left up to the Amah Oret to do, and therefore, in other words, Maharsha says, the message is that the Amah Oret has to be careful with these things. And if not, then these are other things that can cause them to be in trouble, because like this, Hashem says, I trusted you, for example, with Hektish, and if you're not going to do it properly, then you're going to be in trouble. Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, we learn now. So now we're going to talk more generally. Now the Gemara is going to talk about more generally about different averus that a person may be careless with, which can cause certain negative things to happen. Chassid Shalom. Tanya Rav Nosson Omer. because of the Aveda, where a person makes a neder and doesn't fulfill it, because of that, his wife may die. Shenema, as opposed, now obviously the wife is a person of her own. She herself has her own chutzim and whatever, but what we mean is, in other words, there may be a situation where she herself doesn't necessarily have enough chutzim. For example, women don't learn Torah, so it's a little harder for them to collect chutzim because they don't learn Torah. Many mitzvahs don't apply to them, etc. So you can have, let's say, a situation where a woman herself doesn't have enough chutzim, but she's protected in the chutzim of her husband because Hashem doesn't want that her husband should have to have the sadness and the distress of losing her. But then, if he's careless with nedarim, then that takes that away. There's a verse, I don't remember from who this verse is, that says when we say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, unfortunately these days we've had occasion to say it more often than usual, what does it mean that Hashem is Dayan Ha'emes? It means, going back to, we were talking before about when a person is in front of a human court and they're going to be judged and they're going to be sentenced. So the court takes into consideration what the person himself has done, the pros and cons of what the person has done. We said, okay, they can take into consideration extenuating circumstances of him, but they're not going to take into account, let's say, the fact that if this person is put in jail or executed or whatever, that their wife and their children and their friends and whatever are all going to be pained by that. The court can't do that because then Amal Jabba says every person has many people around the world that they know. So the court just deals with the person himself rather than with all the effects on the person's family and society and everything. As opposed to when Hashem judges a person, Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, that Hashem is the true judge, that all of that, every detail of the judgment is true, meaning that Hashem decides also it's not just this person needed to have such and such happen to him, but also Hashem figures out everything, all the effect that it's going to have on all the people that he knows, and therefore, so that's what we're saying, and that's similar to what we're saying over here, that you can have a person where the wife herself doesn't have enough chutzim, but up until now, Hashem was saying that, okay, on the other hand, I'm not gonna punish her because that would be a punishment for her husband as well, and right now he doesn't deserve it, but then if he's careless with the daughter, then that takes that away. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, in Eimel Cholashalem, the Pasuk says, if you don't have what to pay for your neder, the previous Pasuk before that is talking about neder and hekdesh and whatever, Loma yikach mishkavcha mitachtecha, why should he have to take away your mishkav, the thing that you lie with from underneath you? You're the one that you lie with, referring to your wife. Rebbe says differently, Ba'avon yedorim bonim meisim k'shen k'tanim. For the Avera of a person makes a neder and doesn't fulfill it, a person's children, Rahman al-San, pass away young. Now, we know the Torah does tell us, lo yumsu oves abonim, abonim lo yumsu al oves, that the children are not to be punished for their father's Averis and vice versa. However, the Gemara mentions in a number of places there, the Mephoshim rather explain that applies only to adult children who have their own schutzim and neder. Younger children who don't yet have their own chusim, then they Rachman al-San can be taken away for the parents of theirs. Shenema, as the pasuk says, al titinas picha lachti es besarecha, as the pasuk says, don't allow your mouth to cause that your flesh is going to be missing. Lachti meloshin kalei al asar of alayachti, to miss. So like that, your flesh is going to be missing, is going to be lacking. Your flesh, meaning your children, or meaning your relatives. But al toima lifnei malach kichigavi. Don't say when the messenger, meaning Rashi says the gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh, when he comes to collect the Hekdesh that you pledged, don't say to him kichigavi. It was just a mistake. I made a neder, but I'm not going to pay it because I didn't actually intend to make that neder. Don't do that. Because as the pasuk continues, Loma yiktei kalekim al kalecha, why should Hashem have to be angry because of your voice, the voice that you made a neder, v'chibel as masi yodecha, and then he will destroy the work of your hands. So eizeh maisi yodav shaladam, what is the work of a person's hands? Heviyem, bonum of noisav shaladam. They are a person's sons and daughters who he puts in tremendous effort into raising them. So the pasuk is saying, therefore, that if a person is careless with fulfilling his neder, then Rahman al-Islam, he may lose his children. One thing is the Maharal explains that what a person's speech is called nivsfasayim, is called the speech is called the literally the fruit of the lips. So if a person is careless what he's doing or not doing with his lips, then the fruit of then his own fruit, his children, may be lost. Chas v'shalom. Niv means speech, but it also means niv means speech. Niv sfasayim means the speech of the lips. But the word niv also means the word niv also means what do you call it? Also means fruit. So therefore, that speech can be described as the fruit of the lips. And therefore, that as a result of that, and therefore the person's fruit, his children, Rahman al-Islam, can be taken away. As far as the wife before, by the way, Ben Yaryada says a very interesting idea. He says that, look, how did she become your wife in the first place? Because of words that you spoke when you said, how do I act mekudeshetly? So therefore, if a person is going to be careless with his speech, and he's going to say, okay, if I made a promise, big deal, it doesn't really mean much, then Hashem may say, okay, well, if you're saying that your speech doesn't mean much, then in that case, you don't necessarily have to have this wife remain married to you. Okay, continues the Gemara on this topic. We're now going to have a machlokas tanoim on this subject. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon says, like we just said, that a person's children may die, Rahman al-Islam, because of the Avera of the Dorim, because he made a neder and didn't fulfill it. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says it can be for the Avera of Bittul Torah. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon, we just said it's because of Nedarim, and Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so how is he contradicting himself? We'll get to that soon. But first we have to figure out where is each of them getting it from. If we say Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, who says that it's because of Nedarim, we just explained, because he quoted the passage from Kehelet, Al Pita Nespicha Lachias B'Sarecha, that we said that refers to a person's relatives, and specifically to his children, that they may be lost as a result of the Nebi, Rahman Aslan. Elo Lamanda Omer Ba'avoin Bittul Torah, but Rebbe, who says that it can be because of Bittul Torah, Maikra, what's the passage where we see that there's a connection between Bittul Torah and a person losing his children? So like this. You have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Is it for nothing, Hashem says, that I struck your children? Musa loy lakachu. The reason is because they didn't learn lakachu, lashon to learn, like ki lakach toiv nasati lachem. They didn't learn Musa. They didn't learn the Torah, which teaches a person the proper way to act. So we see that there's a connection between not learning Torah and children being struck. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, Lamanda Amar Bavo Nedarim, Nami Mehalcha. Actually, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, who says that it can be because of Nedarim, also gets it from the same pasuk. He doesn't have to use the pasuk Al Titan Especha that we quoted before. He can learn it from the same pasuk. Lashav Hikesiyas B'nechem. He can understand that the pasuk is not a rhetorical question. Is it for nothing that I struck your children? He can understand it as a statement. Because of shav, I struck your children, means al iske shav, because of things of shav, because a person made a false shavua, which is called shavua shav. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara asks, Mechti Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Hainu Rebbe. Now let's consider, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the same as Rebbe. He's called Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi because he was the Nasi of the Jewish people. He's called Rebbe because he was the Rebbe of the whole Jewish people, because he wrote Mishnayos. He composed Mishnayos, whatever. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and Rebbe is the same person. We're Rebbe Ba'avon Nedarim Kama. We said before in the previous Braisa that Rebbe had said the reason was that the reason why children die young is because of Nedarim. How is it that now he's disagreeing and Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is saying Nedarim and Rebbe is saying a different reason, Bittul Torah? The answer is Bosser, the Shama, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. The answer is that Braisa that we quoted before is actually the second Braisa chronologically. First, Rebbe held that it was Ba'avon Bittul Torah, as in the last Braisa we quoted. Then, when Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said it's because of Nedarim, then Rebbe changed his mind and accepted Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon's position, and from then on, he learned that it's Ba'avon Nedarim. That's why the previous braita that we quoted is, it reflects that, when Rebbe changed his mind and accepted Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon's understanding of the situation. The Gemara continues with more opinions about it. Pligi bar Rebbe Chiya bar Abba for Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Chiya bar Abba and Rebbe Yossi further argued on this, what can cause that a person's children pass away young, Rahman Aslan. Chad Oma Bavar Nezuzah, Bechad Oma Bavar Nezuzah Torah. One says it's because of the fact that a person is not careful with the mitzvah of mezuzah. And from here, of course, this is where we get the concept that a person should check their mezuzahs and make sure that everything is good, because otherwise they forfeit Hashem's protection. And the other one says because of nedarim, because of bittul Torah. Lamanda, so where do they get that from? So like this. You have like this. In the second parasha of Shema, we say like this. We say, we mention the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Limad Temoisim Es Benechem Adababam. Then we continue with, Uchsavtam Al Mezuzah Seisecha Uvicharecha. You should put up a mezuzah on your door. And then the pasuk continues, Laman Yugu Yemechem, Yemei Benechem, in order that your days and the children and the days of your children should be lengthened. So therefore, so the question is, which of those previous mitzvahs is that last pasuk referring to? Lamanda Amababa and Mezuzah, the one who says that it's because of not being careful with Mezuzah that they pass away young, he holds Mikra Nidrish Lafanav, the loyalist Neponav. He says the Pasuk is only referring to the Pasuk before it, not to two Pasukim earlier. Therefore, the man Yubi Mechem refers only back to Mezuzah, which it says in the Pasuk right before it. You keep the mitzvah of Mezuzah, Laman Yubi Mechem, and therefore your days and the days of your children will be lengthened. The one who says it's for Bittul Torah, because he says Mikra Nidrish Lafonav Velech Neponav, because the pasuk can be darshin as referring to two pasukim earlier. So it's not only referring to Chasam Amazuz Beisecho Bisharecho, but also to Limatim Oitzimus Benehem. And by the way, this that we're saying Mezuzah over here in Shulchan Aruch actually it mentions this concept that mezuzah lengthens the, in Shulchan Aruch it says it's not just the person's children, the person's own life as well. Because after all, the pasuk says, "Laman yubu yemechem b'mevenechem." Here the Gemara is focusing on things involving children, because that's how we started out the discussion involving the daughter and whatever. But it doesn't mean the children. It means the person himself. By the way. A very interesting story in this connection. A few years back, Sholem Ber Avzan was publishing some stories from a woman named Malka. This woman had a long, ongoing relationship with the Rebbe, where the Rebbe was guiding her at a very personal level. She wasn't interested in keeping most. She had grown up from, but she wasn't interested in keeping most mitzvahs. The Rebbe urged her to at least accept on herself some basic mitzvahs like Shabbos and Kashrus. So in one of his installments of his stories, he tells where one time she was by Yechidus by the Rebbe, sometime in the 70s, and the Rebbe urged her to also have a mezuzah. She says, Rebbe, you only told me about Shabbos and Kashrus. And the Rebbe explains to her that since you have this thing that we're talking about, mezuzah over here, is on that Lamed days of Shabbos, and Lamed days is Lev, then that means that the heart of Shabbos is mezuzah. The heart of keeping Shabbos is having a mezuzah on your door. And therefore, the Rebbe successfully convinced her in that case to have a mezuzah on her door. Continues the Gemara. Pligi bar Rav Meir v'Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda have a further argument about this. Chad Oma Bava in Mezuzah v'chad Oma Bava in Tzitzis. One says, continuing with the topic of children dying young, Rechamal Aslan, that it's because of the Avera of not having a Mezuzah on the door. And the other one says, because of the Avera of not wearing Tzitzis. Now, wearing Tzitzis, Tosfos Yeshanim over here says that maybe that's primarily when you're talking about in those days when their regular garments were four-cornered, and so if you don't put tzitzis on it, then you're actually being mevatel a mitzvah chaseh. Not necessarily would it apply nowadays where our regular clothing does not have four corners. If a person just doesn't wear such a piece of clothing at all, maybe it's not such a serious thing. Although Tosfos Yeshanim says it's still good to do that, and of course that's what we do. Anyway. Okay, I can understand the opinion that says because of the Avera of Mezuzah, what Mezuzah has to do, because we just said, because it says You should write them on your doorpost. And then the next pasuk says, in order that your children and that yours and your children's days are lengthened. So we see there's a connection between arichus yamim and mezuzah. El alamanda omer ba'avon tzitzis my timer. What does tzitzis have to do with anything? Omer of Kahana became a Shila Mori. So Rav Kahana says, or some say Shila Mori said, you have a pasuk in Yirmiya. Gam b'chnafayich nimtzi udam nafshis of yonim mekiyim. Also in your corners, in the corners of your garments, there is found the blood of poor, innocent people who were killed. In context, the pasuk is criticizing the Jewish people, like they're not doing justice. They have people are doing whatever they want, so they're killing and stealing and whatever from the poor people. And so you have even in the corners of your clothes, you can find the blood of innocent people that were killed in your shalayim in the years before the korban. But the Gemara is doubting in the corners of your clothing, meaning because of the corners of your clothing, because of the mitzvah involved in the corners of the clothing, namely tzitzis, which you're not doing, therefore you wind up with dam nafshis of yonim nekiyim, you wind up, rachman al-salam, with the blood of innocent children who otherwise themselves didn't do any averus, that ends up getting lost. Rav Nachman Yitzchok amar l'manda amar b'avayin mezuzah nami mehafa. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, actually, from that same positive, you can also learn the opinion that we said before, that as a result of the Avera of not keeping a mezuzah on the door, that the children may die. Where do we see that in that pasuk? Because the same pasuk continues, Loi b'machteres mitzoftim, I did not find them in a tunnel. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the pasuk is saying, it's one thing if you had killed these people because they're breaking, they're tunneling into your house, okay, then you're allowed to do that. Abolahogcha and all that. But like this, they weren't. You're just killing them stam for no good reason. Therefore, you're going to be punished. But the Gemara is darshining that they made their doors like a tunnel. Now, a tunnel doesn't need a mezuzah because it doesn't have doorposts and it doesn't have a door frame. So a person who makes the door of their house like a tunnel and doesn't have a mezuzah on it, then you have, as the pasuk is saying, then you find over there, dam nafshis of yonim nekiyim. Now, on the other hand, the positive way, Amar Shlokish, Rish Lakish says, let's go to the positive, on the other hand, Kol HaZohir B'Tzitzis, a person who is careful with the mitzvah of Tzitzis, Zoycha U'Mesham Shinloi, Beis Abadim, Mechet Meis Abadim. He will have the schus in the future, in Mashiach's times, that he will be served by 2,800 servants. Shinema, if you have a positive, Koyam HaShem Tzlokish, by Yomim Hohema, in those times, when Mashiach comes, Goyim, 10 men from each of the languages of the Goyim will hold on. They will grab on to the corner of a Jew's clothing and they will say, let us go with you because we see that Hashem is with you. So what happens? In other words, the Gemara is explaining that, again, the conflict over here, the knaf ish yehudi, the corner refers to the corner on which he has tzitzis. You have four corners on the garment. We're saying 10 men from each of the languages. You have 70 languages. Therefore, that means 700 for each corner. So that means 2,800 total for the four corners. That's the schus the person has in the schus of the mitzvah of tzitzis. That la'asid lava, you'll have 2,800 goyim who are ready to serve him and do whatever he needs in order to accomplish in Gashmius in the world, while as the Rambam says, at that time, Kol HaMadanim, the Tzuyim Kafir, all of the good things in the world will be plentiful, and the Jewish people will only have to concern themselves with knowing Hashem and learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, and the Goyim, meanwhile, will be handling the Gashmius of the world for us. So in the course of Tzitzis, the person has this course that he has 2,800 such people helping him out with that. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to start a more general discussion of punishments that come as a result of various averus that people do. So the Gemara says, Simen Sonei Chala Truma Negzelas Dina Shvua Shifuchta Diluyev and Avlusa. This is a simen with keywords for each of the following averus that the Gemara is going to discuss. Some of them we'll do today, and more of them we'll do, and then more of them we'll do in the next Shiur Beis Hashem. So the first one, Sonei, is for Sinas Chinam, Tanya, Reb Nechemya Omer, Ba'avon Sinas Chinam, because of the Avera of Sinas Chinam, where a person hates another Yid without any reason at all, Meriva Rava B'Sech Beitah Shel Adam, that causes fights to break out in the person's house. Rashi says, Midah K'neged Midah, the Ishtei Mapelos Nefalim, his wife miscarries, Ubonav Ubnosa Shel Adam, Mason Chen Tanim, and his young children pass away when they're young. In other words, Rashi says it's also midah keneged midah. He has sinas chinam against people that he should have avos yisrael for. Therefore, he ends up losing the ones that he loves most, his children. Next one, Rabbi Lozer of Yehudaim, a bavo in chala for the avera of not taking chala. Ein bracha b'mechunas. There's no bracha in the stuff that's stored up. In particular, Rashi says wine and oil. So there's no bracha in it. In other words, it doesn't get preserved. And therefore, me'eda mishtalachas b'sha'arim. Therefore, there's a curse in the prices. Prices start going up because there's less wine and oil available. So there's shortages, and therefore prices go up as a result of not taking challah. And a third thing happens. The zoran zroyim v'acherim oichlin. People plant produce and others, goyim or animals or whatever, end up eating it. The person himself who planted it does not end up enjoying it. Shenema, as we find in a pasuk in the Toichacha in Parashas Bechukotai, af ani es azoyt lachem. Hashem says, I will also do this for you. If you're careless with mitzvahs, then I will also do as follows to you. V'hifkadti aleichem behola. I will appoint over you behola, confusion, and the Gemara is going to explain soon what that has to do with challah. Et ha-shechefes ve-et-ha-kadachas. There will be consumption of a disease that consumes a person's body. That's a kadachas and fever. Mechalos enayim, which cause the eyes to fail or medivos nefesh and disappoint the soul, meaning Rashi explains on the positive that these are things a person expects there's going to be a cure for, and in the end there's no cure, so they end up their eyes end up wasting away, and they end up getting disappointed. Uzratem lorik zarachem, and the pasuk continues, you will plant your seeds for nothing. Va'achalu oyveichem, and your enemies will eat them. So what does this have to do with challah? Al tikri behola ela bechala. Don't read in the pasuk behola confusion, but rather bechala because of challah. So because of challah, these things happen. Therefore, there's this disappointment where you're expecting that there should be normal prices and there aren't, and where the enemies end up eating the produce instead of the Jewish people themselves. On the other hand, the imnoisin, but if people do give challah misborchin, then they get a bracha. Shenema v'reishis aritzeichem tiknu l'koyin, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel, the first of your dough you should give to the koyin, lohaniach bracha el beisecha, in order to cause a bracha to rest on your head. So you give challah, then you get a bracha. The next one, ba'avoyin
b'zol. Give challah meaning you take challah.
Meaning you take challah and give it to the koyin. Nowadays you burn, and in the old time you would give it to the koyin, right? And then when Mashiach comes again, we'll give it to the koyin, right? Ba'avoyin b'zol trumas ha'maisrus, because of
the... What about the wife of a koyin?
Then you still take challah, but then they eat it. She still has to take out challah, because otherwise it's tevel. Same principle as a koyin, has to take truma and maisr out of his own produce, but then he can eat it. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ba'avoyin b'zol trumas ha'maisrus, because of the avera of not giving truma and maisr, shamayim ne'etzorim milaholim talo matar, the heavens are stopped up, so there's no dew and there's no rain. Vayoyker hoyva, and therefore there becomes tremendous inflation because there's no food to be had. Vashchar avad, and profit is lost. You can't make any profit, and you can't make any profit under conditions like that. Or another explanation, I think something like Marashah says, vashchar avad means that nobody will hire anybody. There's tremendous unemployment. And people race after their panosa, and they don't reach it. They can't make enemies. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Tia gam choim, dryness, also heat, yigzalu meme sheled, steal away the waters of the snow, sh'oil chatou, like the people who did Averis wind up in Gehenna. So the Gemara says, what's the connection? My mashma, where do you see anything in this pasuk about Truma and Meister? So in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned it means like this. The shvil dvarim shetivisi eskam mimosachama, the word tzia, we're relating to the word tzivva, which means command. So the word darshan is tzia gam choyim, what was commanded in the hot season. So the mitzvah that I commanded you, the mimosachama, during the summertime, which is truma and maisa, because the produce is harvested in the summertime and stacked up, and that's the point when you give Truma and Maaser, once you finish Gemara Malach on it. But because of the mitzvah that I commanded you to do during the summertime, you give Truma and Maaser, the loy asisen, and you didn't do them, you didn't give Truma and Maaser, you gozbu mikem mimei sheleg mimoisag shaman. Because of that, the snow waters are going to be stolen from you during the winter, meaning that rain is not going to fall. Like this, normally you would have rain and occasionally snow, and those water the earth and make the crops grow. But like this, when you don't do this, then you lose the Meimei Shemen. On the other hand, the nursing is broken. On the other hand, if they do give Truma and Maaser, then they get a bracha. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Malachi, it's actually, we just had Shabbos HaGadol. We didn't have, in our minute, we don't say the special Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol, unless it's Erev Pesach, but we still say it's a Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum, and this is the Pasuk from it. Bring all the Maaser into the treasury. In those times, at the beginning of the second Mishnah, they had like a central treasury where everybody would bring their Maaser, and then it would be distributed to the Kohenim and Levim. There should be food in my house, Hashem is saying. Hashem says, you can test me with that. We know this is the one mitzvah where you're allowed to test Hashem with Maaser. That you're allowed to test Hashem, if I do this mitzvah, is this good thing going to happen? So you're allowed to do that with Maaser. Im loy etach lachem et haruvei tashamayim, that it will definitely be true that I will open up for you the windows of Shamayim, v'harikosi lachem bracha ad lidai, and I will pour out for you bracha until there's no end. So we see that as a result of getting Truma and Maaser, then there's tremendous bracha. Famous question, my ad bleed die. What does it mean? What's this expression, ad bleed die, until there's no end? Omer Romi bar Chom, actually, it says on the side. Omer Rav, ad shi yivlu, tiksei seichen miloima die. Until your lips wear out from saying die. There'll be so much good that you'll be saying constantly die, and like your lips will wear out from it. They ask an interesting question. The word die doesn't involve your lips at all. It involves your tongue, it involves your teeth, it involves the roof of your mouth. So one interesting answer that's brought is just the opposite. Because you're constantly going to be saying die, your lips are going to wear out from not being used. Because you won't be able to say anything else. There is though a different thing. There's a different medrash that has a version of it that you're going to say dayenu brachos. We have enough brachos, and the word brachos involves using the lips. So therefore, so that's the bracha that we get as a result of giving Truma and Maaser properly. So okay, we're in Chutz La'aretz, we don't have Truma and Maaser. Once in a while, we have fruit that's imported from Eretz Yisrael, and we take Truma and Maaser from it. But other than that, we at least accomplish it by getting Maaser from our income. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Hashem.